You know, I read somewhere that when you go to a job or a position, you want to dress for the position you want, not the position you have. And I want to tell you, I almost came as Batman today. My wife even, I don't know why, I'm not a Batman fan, I don't know, but my wife bought me a keychain. So if you see me dashing through the hallway, don't ask questions, okay? 1 Peter chapter number 5. Look at verse number 1, would you please? Verse number 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. You know, he's talking about the transfiguration there. And he's saying, I was there. I was there. That's pretty powerful to me. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Here's our text. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I've had an unusual experience in my life when I think about that wreck that just happened at Reagan National. I made my living in the cockpit of a Black Hawk for many years. Did I tell you I used to fly? And so I know. I made my living at the radar control panel as an air traffic controller for many years. So I know. I actually was in charge of training the new air traffic controllers. And so when it comes to the 71-10-65, which you don't even know what that is, it's the air traffic controller's handbook. I know that book like the back of my hand. Procedures, phraseology. People would live and die based upon how exact we were with our phraseology. I mean literally. And I mean that's what happened. And so we're going to talk about that today. I think there's a spiritual application, so we're going to talk about the Bible today. And we're going to talk about how it applies to that incident and what we need to do. Pray with me, would you please, Lord? Would you help us today? Would you just make us aware, God, of how serious this is? It's easy to get comfortable. I'm saying that from experience in my own life. It's easy to get comfortable and to start coasting. And we get into a routine, and after a while, we realize we get into a rut. And we rely on that routine, and we rely on that rut, Lord, and we rely on ourselves. And next thing you know, bam. Lord, would you help us today? Would you help us to be aware of that? God, please challenge us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I ask you a question? I don't want you to answer. And I move around a lot, okay? But let me ask you. I've actually had 3 cups of coffee today, so I'll be moving around. Okay, so if we go... Why do good people fail? How many of you love the Lord this morning? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you sitting here this morning say, it is my goal in life to crash and burn? Who plans that? Not one time ever did I strap into a helicopter and say, I'm taking it down today, buddy. Not once. I was supposed to go to, I spent a lot of time overseas as an air traffic controller, helping foreign governments get an air traffic program going. I was supposed to go to Egypt. They were having some problems over there, and they called me, and I was working with their military, and we had things set up, and I was getting ready to leave. And that week, Egypt Air Flight 880 took off out of New York, going over to Egypt. And the pilot did a, he dumped the airplane, yelling Allahu Akbar all the way down to the ground, and everybody died. So they said, hey, you're not going to Egypt right now. Okay. How many of us plan on crashing? And how many of you woke up this morning saying, today's the day, I'm going to crash and burn? You know, it's funny. Maybe I'm a little paranoid. I don't think I am. But I'll sit on the platform. You know where I sit when I'm sitting up on the platform. I'm sitting there and I'm watching. I'm not lying. And I'm thinking, and Mr. Himes, you appreciate this. I'm thinking, if someone comes running down the aisle, here's what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? I am going to fly. You know, I've shared the story about Secret Service. You know, there's three basically lines of defense, and they, before the president comes, they go and scope out the area to see where the sight lines are and where the shooters would come from. And then the day of the event, they are always watching people and looking and checking to see who looks suspicious. And you look suspicious, buddy. I'm telling you that right now. See who looks suspicious, and they're looking and they're watching. But then there's that last line of defense. And they're the body men. And it is their job. It's their job. If someone yells shooter or they see a shooter, it's their job to put their body between the president and the shooter and to make their body as big as possible. People, presidents have reached out to me when they see my body because they realize how big I can make my body. And so it helps. We've got a problem here, Peter's talking about in 1 Peter. And he knows. Can I say this? This is the voice of experience talking here. And can I say this? I have made so many mistakes in my life. Some thinking, you know, that word for sin, you know, you missed the mark. Many times I've made mistakes because I was aiming for the right target and I just missed. You know what I mean? But I have to confess, there have been times in my life, here's the target and I'm aiming over here. Man, I'm so ashamed of that. Peter's saying, I made a lot of mistakes in my life. So he's saying, let me teach you something here. He's saying, be sober. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. Walk about seeking whom he may devour. You know what you'd be shocked to learn? Peter is even talking to young people in Bible college. You know, you would think that this place could be established as a safe zone. You understand what I mean when I say that? Okay, I'm here. Now, I finally got into the place where I don't have to worry about it. And then we find out that's not true, don't we? The same temptations, the same struggles, the same conflicts, the same filthy garbage we've been dealing with all our lives has followed us right here. You know, I think there's three things he talks about in this passage that I want to mention. The first thing is our anticipation. Our anticipation. He says in verse number 8, here's what we need to anticipate. Peter's saying, number one, be sober. Be sober. That word sober, the understanding from Thayer's is there's a calmness. We are collected. The term I would use with my staff or with my deacons or even in my own family is we are the center of calm. I want to be that guy, and I'm not saying this for selfish reasons. I don't think I am. I want to be the type of person that when things are going bad, people can look to and say, okay, we're going to be okay. Be sober. There's a depth to who you are. We are temperate. Go to, don't lose your place because we're going to come right back, but just go back to 2 Timothy. Here's what he's saying in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Skip down to verse number 5. Paul's telling Timothy, watch thou in all things. Be sober. Be very aware. We're collected. I've jokingly said, and really it's only half jokingly, that when I came here, I hit the ground running, and I have said the term that I've used. People ask me, hey, how are you doing? I said, you know, I'm drinking water from a fire hose. You ever try drinking water from a fire hose? It ain't happening. They say this about a football player. They say, you know, the rookie gets out there and the game has sped up significantly. And then the term they use is, the game has started to slow down. Now, did the game slow down? No. Tick, 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 tick. No, it's the same. But he's able to take the things as they're coming. He's seeing the play unfolding. He's able to anticipate what the other player's going to do. He's able to take the appropriate action. Things are slowing down. And really, I think that's what he's saying here. Watch thou in all things. We've got to be ready. We've got to understand what's going on in our lives. Go back to 1 Peter, but look at chapter 4. Skip down to verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. We're not surprised. We're not caught off guard. It amazes me that the children of God are caught off guard as though, oh, that could never happen to me. Can I say this? I'm a child of God. I've been saved since I was 10 years old. The Holy Spirit dwells within me. But because of my human nature, I am capable of any sin known to man. And I've got to, and you've got to, we must guard ourselves against those things, anticipating, making sure the game's not coming too fast at us so that we're not caught off guard. How did I not see this coming? I preached the teen retreat, and I preached three messages on the life of Joseph. Actually, four, on the life of Joseph. when Joseph was faced with temptation, it's almost like he already had a plan in place. Do you understand? Did your home have that? Did your home have an emergency plan? Okay, if there's a fire, here's what you need to do. Does that make sense? Flying, I know military stories. I don't know shopping stories. You have to talk to one of these young men about shopping stories. I know military stories. But in my helicopter, I knew. If this happens, you don't even need to think about it. It was so ingrained, it became almost a natural response. If there's a fire, scream like a girl. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. If there's a fire, here's what you're supposed to do. If there's an engine failure, which was pretty cool, I gotta tell you. Because I started out in Hueys, you know, those old time wop, 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 wop. Those are the ones you hear. That's what they sound like. And so if there's an engine failure, then there's all these procedures you do. But in a Blackhawk, if there's an engine failure, are you ready for this? Adjust speed. Is that not cool? Hey, what are you going to do? You got an engine failure. Well, let me slow it down about 5 knots here. I'll be fine. Because I had another engine. It was nice, but I still knew what to do. I've lost my hydraulics. I've lost my tail rotor. I've lost an engine, but I knew what to do. Joseph knew what to do. And you and I, sorry to say, are living our lives so many times like, oh, I never thought that could happen. You know, we've dealt with it in our lives. I could tell you story after story, and the joke I use is, they never covered this at my ordination. You know? What are you going to do when the police show up? What are you going to do when your wife's paralyzed? What are you going to do when they tell you your son's going to die? What are you going to do? God's not... He can't do this. He's not able to take care of me. And the devil wins. Our anticipation, be sober, but he also says, look at chapter 5 and verse 8 again, be sober, be vigilant. You know what that is? On guard duty. Roused from sleep. I'm going to pull a chair up. I'll pull here. Roused from sleep. I went through some trials at the last church. I'll not belabor that. But the word was out. Things were getting ready to get violent. Yeah. Old Testament survey doesn't cover that one. You say, Pastor Shaver, what'd you do? I'll tell you what I did. I sent my wife an hour and a half south to go stay with my daughter and her family. Then I took my chair and I put it by the front door and I got out my riot gun. No, really. I was literally loaded for bear. Come to Papa. Called the police and said, hey, just so you know, here's the word that's out on the street. For a week, be vigilant. In the Army, when you first start out in the Army, they send you on guard duty and they give you your general orders. My first general order is, I will guard everything within my post and will quit my post only when properly relieved. 1978. That's when I was given that first general order. I still remember that. So they sent us to the Philadelphia Armory. Outside, we were in New Jersey. They sent us over to Philly to guard the armory. gave us an M16. You're going down with no ammo. You say, Pastor Shaver, what'd you do? When they got too close, I threw it at them and ran. Be vigilant. And young people, I'm telling you today, you need to be sober, anticipating. You need to be vigilant. This was where the disciples failed. Go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Remember what I told you about Peter? The voice of experience? Here it is. In Matthew chapter 26. Skip down to verse number. Oh, let's go to 36. Matthew 26, 36. Are you still with me? Say amen. Amen. It says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. There's Peter. His moment to shine. And began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, here's the word, and watch. Be vigilant with me. Remember what I said about Peter? The voice of experience. Like I tell people, people have said, hey, you need to write a book on how to start a church. God blessed us so much. I am a perfect picture of the grace of God. Because if I wrote my book, I could say, what not to do when starting a church. It would be a big hit. It'd be thick, too. And here's Peter, basically, and I promise I'm not trashing Peter here. But Peter's saying, listen, don't do what I did. Look back. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And look at verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. They fell asleep on guard duty. And saith unto Peter, why Peter? What? Could you not be vigilant? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Why do we think, young people, why do we think we're exempt? Well, that would never happen to me. There's your first mistake right there. Verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Go back to 1 Peter. Our anticipation is to be sober. It's to be vigilant. We must be on guard. Number two, we see our anticipation, but secondly, we see our arch enemy, your adversary, the devil. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He is our enemy. He is our accuser. He is a roaring lion. He's hungry. He's strong. He's fierce. He's cruel. He is the anti-God. He is the destroyer of the brethren. Now listen. He can't have our soul. Our soul. We've already been sealed until the day of redemption. He can't have that. But he can put you on the shelf. If you're not careful, and I don't say this to be ugly and mean, he can put you on the shelf and you can become the poster child of what not to do. And I don't say that to be mean. And here, you know, one of the things I appreciate about our pastor here, you know what I appreciate about him? And I've spent a lot of time with him already in a short period of time. And we were talking through a situation. And he said, Pastor Shaver, make sure they're okay spiritually. I want a pastor like that. I want to be a pastor like that. Pastor Shaver, they're good people. He just told me that the other day. That's a good person. You make sure they're okay. You find out what we can do, he said, to help them. Instead of making them a poster child. See, this is what could happen if you don't get your act together right here. Pastor would never do that. He would never say that. Other people might. But my pastor won't. And I'm so grateful for that. But I don't want to be this guy. I think I've told you before, we have had a magazine when we were flying called Flight Facts, F-A-X, Flight Facts. And it was just a list of every aircraft incident that happened in the military or in the Army in that last month. And it was my objective in life not to get into Flight Facts. It was. I don't want to be that guy. When I lost my tail rotor, I was looking forward to that next article because I knew I was going to be in there. Wasn't my fault. It was a mechanical mishap, but I was looking forward to that one. When my hydraulics failed, we were coming back from Eglin Air Force Base to Kentucky, and we're flying fat, dumb, and happy. That's the way I fly, fat, dumb, and happy. And so we were flying fat, dumb, and happy, and we got in southern Alabama, and our hydraulics failed. Hydraulics makes it easy to work the controls. Now it's just not easy to work the controls. And so the landing that you do in your helicopter and the hydraulics failure is really you turn it into a fixed wing landing. You just go slow and shallow and you coast it right down onto there. Because you can't afford, you just can't make abrupt control changes. But I was looking forward to Flight Facts because I knew it was good in there. Wasn't my fault. But one time, I'm training a guy, he's a Japanese guy, Teruaki Endo, and we were doing a rapid refuel. What happens is you pull into the refueling pad, you reduce the engines to idle, you don't shut them off, your co-pilot gets out, and he gets 50 feet from the aircraft, and they run a static line cable to get rid of any static electricity that's built up through the rotor system. It's really pretty intense. And so they attach that so it'll ground into the ground. And then they do a rapid refuel. And then they are done. They unhook the static line. Co-pilot gets back in and you take off and you're good to go. So the co-pilot did that and he comes walking back to the aircraft and he thought he would help. So he just reached down and got the static line cable and just threw it back. And it went right up into the rotor system. Now at the time, and this is 1984, at the time, those rotor blades were $250,000 a blade. Do you know who they hold responsible for that? The pilot in command. They have an investigation that's called a statement of charges. In other words, who is financially responsible? And then they take it out of your pay. I'm still paying for that. No, I'm not. You know, they determined that I couldn't be held responsible for that. Thank you, Lord. And but Flight Facts, you know. And I read the article, and I'm reading it out loud, and I say, I wonder who that sorry rascal was. And I wasn't letting anybody know, you know, but they knew. It was me. Our arch enemy wants to devour you. 2004, I believe. Indonesia. had an earthquake off the coast. And a tsunami hit. It hit all over. It even went as far as the Pacific coast in California. And the tsunami that formed from that earthquake took anywhere from 7 minutes to 7 hours to hit different places. The worst wave that came from that tsunami took about 3 hours to hit the shore. 3 hours to hit the shore. 3 hours. Over 227,000 people were killed. How much of it was ignorance? Because they just didn't know. How much of it was apathy? Yeah. We're fine. Anybody ever had to take action because of a tornado? Well, we lived in Oklahoma, Tornado Alley. We used to go to Walmart and watch the tornadoes. I'm not lying. We were at the Walmart in El Reno, and it was two funnel clouds that came out of the same rotation. It was awesome. And we're standing there, and I'm watching. I look for the rotations, because that's what happens before you get the funnel clouds. So we're watching, I'm watching the rotation, and it's about, I don't know, half mile to a mile north of us, and it's going west to east. Typically, they don't take hard right or left turns, but you've got to anticipate it in case it does. And so we're watching that thing, and I'm watching that, and it's the one funnel cloud comes down, hits the ground, and you can just see all the debris that's being blown up from that funnel cloud. And we're watching, I'm all of a sudden you see this second funnel cloud. I'd only seen that once in my life. It was a regular thing for us to watch tornadoes. This is not a once in a lifetime event. It was regular. And so we're watching that second one come out of the rotation. And I'm thinking, okay, this is pretty awesome. That was the last words I ever said. No. And so we're watching it go by. It got by. It's gone. Next thing you know, the alarm in Walmart went off. Whoop, whoop, and the manager comes running out. Get inside. There's a tornado in the area. But I was there when the tornado of all tornadoes hit. Worst recorded tornado in world history, 322 miles an hour. The where it touched on the ground was a mile wide. If you were to look at the overhead map, you'd see that it was coming up from the southeast. Coming up from the southeast, and at a certain point, it stopped and turned due east, went over the Oklahoma City airport, and then stopped and went northeast again. If you were to look at the overhead map where it went from going northeast to east, had it continued on this path, hey, look, there's Pastor Shaver. Right over our house. Gary England was the weather forecaster. If you're from Oklahoma, you knew who Gary England was. He was the tornado guy. And Gary England would always, whenever there's a tornado, remember I told you it's a regular thing, they had the best reporting in the world. Okay, it's going to be at 15, the Northwest MacArthur in 20 minutes at 6:36 p.m. I mean, that's how good they were. They could tell you what street at what time. And he would say, you want to go to an interior closet or hallway or go into your bathtub and put a mattress over your head? And he'd really, that's true. Head trauma is the number one thing. Put a football helmet on, get your old Army helicopter pilot hat out and put it on. And we did. And this one he said, if you are inside, you will not survive.
That's what he said.
So I'm making plans. All right, we're going to go to the tornado. The city has a tornado shelter. We're headed to the tornado shelter. And I'm standing outside of my front yard, and I'm watching the news, Gary England, and you can hear it. The pulsing. It was pretty awesome. And I'm thinking, man, we got to go now. And then it turned east and missed us. But you know what it looked like? It went through a subdivision. And when it was done, it looked like a brand new subdivision. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Schaefer? It looked brand new. Nothing but concrete pads. No cars. No houses. No trees. No debris. No lumber. No nothing but concrete pads. Like a giant 1 mile wide bulldozer came through. It was pretty awesome. Seeketh whom he may devour. You know that word devour, you know what it means? And I've got to hurry here. It means the floodwaters take you over. And that's what is happening in our lives with this sin. And we're asleep at the wheel. Young people, can I tell you this? Look at our last point very quickly. I've got just a couple of minutes. Verse number 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Our assignment is to resist and to resist steadfastly. Don't yield. We're going to anticipate this, number one. We're going to acknowledge who our arch enemy is, number two. And then we've got an assignment. We're going to take action, which is steadfastly resist. We're not going to roll over. We're not going to yield. We're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. I've shared with you after the challenges I went through, Pastor called me and asked me to come up here. And I said, my picture's all over the internet. And I don't look good in orange. And he said, that's why we want you here. He said, you were falsely accused. He said, you didn't run. He said, you didn't quit. And he said, and you were proven innocent. He said, and our young people need to see that. I could still write a book on what not to do. But by God's grace, I didn't quit. I need to tell you this, though. I thought it was going to kill my wife. Physically. My best friend. The love of my life. Has paid a great price for her husband's battles. Ladies, are you up to that? Ladies, are you up to that? She's still paying for it today. There are days my wife can't get out of bed. My wife said, we're not quitting. I will do anything for that woman because she did everything for me. And I'm out of time. I got to quit. I didn't even get to talk about the crash, did I? So I guess maybe we'll have to talk about it again sometime. In the crash, it's never one thing. It's never one thing that causes the wreck, never. Congress is responsible because it was Congress's job to regulate the air traffic that goes into the airport, and they were so concerned about themselves getting home to their own districts that they just kept piling on the airplanes instead of limiting the traffic. The FAA was responsible because they didn't have enough air traffic controllers, and they were so concerned about the DEI aspect of it that they lowered the standard to get in to make sure they could get the quotas that they needed. And here's the way they do it, just so you know. I know, I was in it. Here's the way they do it. They have what they call a BQ list, best qualified list. Oh, we only chose the best qualified. But what they had to do was they had to lower the bottom level of what the BQ list was to get the certain DEI requirements they wanted. You understand? Oh, yeah, we got the top 95% of all controllers. Which means only 5% weren't qualified. So the FAA was accountable. That supervisor was accountable because he combined up the traffic. Now, I'm not saying what he did was wrong. Obviously, as a result of what happened, that ended up not being good. But he wasn't wrong in what he was trying to do because of the workload. That controller was accountable because that controller used wrong phraseology. There's a specific way to call traffic. Traffic 11 o'clock, 5 miles eastbound, descending. And you give the Canadian jet. You give the type aircraft. Report the traffic in sight. And what the controller said was, you see the traffic? They're everywhere. And my beloved brothers and sisters in arms in the Black Hawk were accountable. Because there's a letter of agreement between the Army and the FAA that says these helicopters on training coming down the Potomac aren't allowed to be any higher than 200 feet off the ground. And they were 400 feet off the ground. But are you ready for this, the big one? In that helicopter, when you're flying night vision goggles, it's like, do this with your eyes. Now, without moving that, look to your left and right. What do you see? You don't see anything, do you? That's what happens. You have no peripheral vision when you're under night vision goggles. So what you have to do is, you have a gunner's seat back here and a gunner's window, and a gunner's seat back here and a gunner's window, and you put two observers, one on each side, whose job it is to watch for traffic. They didn't have one behind this, the pilot. So when that plane flew into them, the guy whose job it was to be on guard duty, to watch it all things, to be sober and to be vigilant, wasn't even there. And it slammed into that aircraft, and they didn't even know. They thought everything was okay. And you're here today, and you're pretending everything's okay, and you're not even watching. And people, I love you. My wife and I literally weep for you. We want God to do something in your life. Don't you think it's time we should wake up? And let's keep our eyes open. Let's be prepared. Amen. Let's pray.